glad to be in the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord is the best place to be. No matter what's going on, it's a place to be. Who would have dreamed? Who would have dreamed years ago that we'd still be here? We are in the last of the last days. And the hour is late. And there is a job to be done. There's people to reach. And I believe that no matter who they are, no matter the mistakes they've made, I believe the Lord's still wanting to reach some folks. Amen. I believe the Lord's still wanting to reach some folks. And I tell you what, I'd like to be the one that God uses to be able to be the hand that reaches down and picks somebody up. And we heard a song. My daughter has heard it probably a few more times than we have. And unfortunately, you've probably heard it, so you know how it's supposed to go. My wife has never played it. We've never sung it. But we're going to, I guess. And this is what the kids wanted to sing. So I believe they need to be led by the Lord as well. And my daughter has done some singing with us. But tonight, we're going to lay the verses on her. So just be praying for her. And let's just get in. Why don't we all stand so we don't feel like we're the only ones standing? And I might keep you sitting quite a while later and you'll wish you could stand. Amen. So just let the Lord have his way.
Way down, Jesus will pick you up if you had to reach. Way down, Jesus will pick you up if you had to reach. Way down, Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up if you had to reach. Way down, Shadrach, Meshach, and all of Abednego, they were thrown in a fiery furnace such a long, long time ago. But God stepped in, took the heat out of the flames. They came out shouting and praising in Jesus' name. If you had to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you had to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you had to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up if you had to reach way down. Paul and Silas were bound in a Roman jail. They had no one to go to their bail. But an earthquake came, the doors flew open wide. They came out shouting and praising on the other side. If you had to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you had to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. You have to reach way down. Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up, babe. You have to reach way down. Shadrach, Meshach, and old Abednego, they were thrown in a fiery furnace such a long, long time ago. But God stepped in, took the heat out of the flames. They came out shouting, praising in Jesus' name. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up if you have to reach way down. Now Paul and Silas were bound in a Roman jail. They had no one to go to their bail. Now they came, the doors flew open wide. They came out shouting and praising on the other side. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down. Jesus picked you up if he has to reach way down. Jesus picked you up if he had to reach way down. Jesus picked you up. Jesus picked you up if he had to reach way down. Shadrach, Meshach, and old Abednego, they were thrown in a fiery furnace such a long, long time ago. But God stepped in, took the heat out of the flames. They came out shouting a praise about Jesus' name. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. If you have to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up if you have to reach way down. Better reach way down. Jesus will pick you up if you have to reach way down. Jesus will pick you up if you have to reach way down. Jesus will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up if you have to reach way down.
Well, glory. I'm glad the Lord will reach way down. I'm glad the Lord will reach way down. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's times that even when we are not lost, we find ourselves down. I was reading something today that I had jotted down quite a while ago. Thought I'd share it with you. How many remembers when you were in prison? The prison land? Some of you have no clue. Ain't nobody ever been in prison land? I'm not talking about with bars, but I'm talking about with bands of sin. Amen. And when we were out in sin, I was thinking about in Egypt's land. The Bible talks about them, how they were bound in prison land. They couldn't come and go as they wanted to. Had to work from sun up to sundown. They were in prison land. That's the way sin is. It works you. And seems like you're never going to be free. But they went from the prison land to the parched land. Went out into the desert land. Amen. Went out into that parched land. Anybody ever been there? Sometimes it seems like we walk round and round and round and round. And I don't believe that it is the will of God for us to be bound. I don't believe it's the will of God for us to be dried out there in the parched land. But you know what? They went from the prison land to the parched land to the promised land. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day. Amen. You know, promised land, and I just want to share this, but the promised land, a lot of times we look at that as being heaven. We sing about it being heaven, brother. But I'll tell you what, when they got into the promised land, they lost 30-some men at the city of Ai. When I get to heaven, I ain't losing nobody. And so I believe that the promised land is right here on this earth. And there's a song I really like. We don't hear it much back our way. Maybe y'all sing it out here a little bit more. But I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. But that song talks about higher ground. Still, I'll press towards higher ground. And I believe that there is a higher plane that God wants us to live on. Amen. And I believe that too many are still wandering around in the parched lands when God wants us to move on to the promised lands. Amen. It's a place that God wants us to be. And I believe that that promised land is a land of victory. How many has battles? Well, glory. Some of you don't have any. Well, I tell you what, I've got plenty of them. Please be praying for me. There's battles in this land. Amen. I tell you, there's bound. Sometimes we're bound, but there's many times we're having battles. But in the middle of those battles, it is God's will that we continue to walk in victory and that we overcome. How many want to be overcomers? How many knows if you're going to be an overcomer, you got to overcome something? And so you're going to have an obstacle if you're going to be an overcomer. And I believe that it is the will of God for us to continue to overcome. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. And I see a lot of Christians today that seem to be just giving up and throwing their weapons down and turning and going the other direction, saying we can't win them, let's join them. And that's not the will of God. I believe that God still wants us to stand firm. And I'm going to get into preaching here in a minute. And I believe so many of us, if we're not careful, will walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Amen. Walking in the flesh does not mean that you don't do the same things you used to do when you were walking in the spirit. You still with me here? There's a lot of saints of God that are walking in the flesh and they're still doing the same things. Now let me tell you what I mean. You can be walking in the flesh and still go to church. You can be walking in the flesh and still read your Bible. You can be walking in the flesh and you can still pray. But the difference, and you can be walking in the flesh and you're still battling, brother. But the difference is now you're having a different outcome. Amen. You're not having victory anymore. There's too many times that you're falling back and making mistakes and you're falling back and saying, oh man, how did this happen to me? I don't understand why I'm so down and out. Maybe it's because we're walking in the flesh instead of walking by faith. Amen. And I'm still doing the same things I've always done. Yes. It's not what you're doing, it's who you are. Amen. I just got to ask, how many in here you need the Holy Ghost? Let me see you raise your hands. How many of you need the Holy Ghost? There's some of you here. Okay, yeah. I need the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I need more of the Holy Ghost. They got their hands up too. Amen. I tell you what, how many of you have heard different stories about people that got filled with the Holy Ghost and thought, boy, wouldn't that be nice? Somebody said, I crawled down the center aisle on my knees, and when I got to the altar, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, God told me to march around the church, and it was during testimony service. So I started marching, and I got around about three times, and the Holy Ghost fell, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Amen. Oh, well, what do I need to do to get the Holy Ghost? I want to tell you that it's not what you do that gets you the Holy Ghost. It's who you are. Amen. Well, why did they have to crawl on their knees? Because they probably had a little bit of pride and God had to knock it out of them. And so when they finally submitted that part of their life to God, God went ahead and gave them the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why in the world did they have to march around the church? I'll tell you why. Because as they began to march around the church, God realized that they were being obedient instead of rebellious. And so God went ahead and said, you know what? They are what they need to be now. I'm going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And even so, sometimes we walk in the flesh. And if we're not careful, we're not who we used to be. Amen. The Bible said you've begun in the spirit, but now you're made perfect by the flesh. No, that's not the way it works. Amen. But so many times I'm still doing what I've always, I'm still raising my hands, but God doesn't seem to be moving for me, sister. I'm still fasting, but God doesn't seem to be moving. I want to tell you that God knows the attitude of your heart. Amen. It's not what you're doing, it's who you are. Amen. Have you ever, I don't know, I may get to preaching here in a minute, but if you ever went to church and you see somebody that isn't worthy of the Holy Ghost, and they go up there and pray and they get it, and you're saying, oh, what about me? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why'd God give it to them? I mean, my goodness, you know what I know what they're doing. I don't know why God gave them the Holy Ghost. I know. I live close to them. I know what they're doing. They shouldn't get the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to tell you, because God knows the attitude of their heart. And God knows that they're not going to get to where they need to be without the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I wish I could get this. Y'all still with me here? Amen. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, when you come to the point that you don't feel like you need that power anymore, that's when you are in the biggest trouble you've ever been in. Amen. God can, well, I think I can go ahead and stay safe, Brother Dave. I mean, I know I need the Holy Ghost, but even if he does, I'm going to stay safe. Well, that's good. Amen. But I want to be victorious over sin. Amen. I want to bring victory to those that are victims. Can you say amen? Well, I come to tell you that every one of you need the Holy Ghost. Every one of you need the Holy Ghost. We need the Lord to pour it out on us, don't we, church? Glory. We need the Holy Ghost tonight. And I'd like to wade out just a little bit deeper and let the Lord have His way in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, move in me. You ever seen a kid that was hungry, but he never told you he was, but you could tell he was? You know what I'm talking about?
A lot of these kids, they'll just tell you, I want to eat. But you know, when my kids go out and we're out in public and we're with somebody else and they're hungry and they see something, boy, they'll look at that and their eyes are just about as wide as they can be. And Daddy? Yes? Dad? Yeah. What do you want, son? And they're not going to say it because they know they're in public. They're not supposed to say, but they're sure wanting it. You know what I'm talking about? And I've heard somebody say, hey, would you like a cookie? Oh, yeah. I mean, you didn't have to ask them twice. It just come right out. They knew what they wanted. They just waiting for somebody to ask them if they wanted it. I want to tell you that that's the same way God is with us. There's a lot of times if we get it, fine. If we don't, oh, well. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but God ain't going to push you into the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, when I was a kid and we was at youth camp, in between the pavilion and where the dormitories were, there was this big place that it would gather water real quick, and the rains would come and it would become a big old mud hole, and the kids would go sliding on their bellies. I mean, boy, they just had a blast. Oh, Lordy. And there'd be some of us would be standing close watching them all, but we didn't want no part of that mud. You know what I mean? And we'd stand there and we're watching. Boy, if you're not careful, somebody just shove you off into that mud and you done got it too. Well, I want to tell you what, God ain't going to shove you off into this. You're going to have to jump in for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're worried about how it's going to turn out, well, you know, I went down to that altar so many times, preacher. If I had a dollar for every time I went down there, I'd buy me a brand new Lincoln Continental. Well, I want to tell you what, it doesn't matter how many times you've been down there, keep on going. I'm hungry, and I want God to move and work in me. Oh, God, help me a little while here. Amen. I believe that we need to get more hungry than we've ever been. Can you say amen? I believe there's so many times that we get so lax and so used to just going through the motions. And I believe we need God's power more than ever before. Hallelujah. I'm going to attempt to preach to you just for a few minutes, Lord willing. And good to see my friend here tonight. Amen. I know Brother Brad's heart's been here probably more often than most of the rest of you been here, but I'm glad to see him here tonight. Amen. Blesses my soul. Didn't get to see him last time I was here. And we do converse and we get to talk and we get to visit. But isn't it going to be wonderful when we get to heaven? Yeah. Won't ever have to leave the presence of God. Well, hallelujah. You know, something never made sense to me, Brother Brad. So many people that can go all the time and they don't want to, and I want to so bad and I can't go. Amen. So the rest of you need to think about how many other people would like to be in church, and so you just go ahead and show up for their sakes. Well, that was good. You should have said amen, because that's truth. That's truth. Amen. Brother Bob Byers wanted to be here in church last night. He went ahead and took his trumpet home just in case. He didn't get to make it last night or tonight, but I know he sure wanted to be. And I'll tell you what, appreciate people that love the Lord and want to be in the presence of God. Amen. I want us to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I don't often say this, but if I could have somebody get me just a little bit of water. Somebody lost some cotton and I've got it in my mouth. And so, book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many going to help me preach a few minutes tonight? Amen. Boy, all three of you. Okay, I tell you what, I'm really going to need you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when you find that, if you'd stand in honor of God's Word, I'm just going to preach for a few minutes. I'm going to try not to preach real long, if the Lord will be my helper. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm willing. I don't want to be waiting, I want to be willing. How about you? Amen. I said, I don't want to be waiting, I want to be willing. I want to be willing for the Lord to move and work in me. Do want to say we appreciate that good meal. And I tell you what, I had some good ice cream. What kind of ice cream did we have, brother? It was moose what? Moose tracks. Well, I tell you what, when I went deer hunting, you didn't want to, you could track deer a few different ways. But I tell you what, this was good moose tracks. It had chocolate in it, but it was good. So anyhow, Reese cups and I don't know what all, but it was sweet. And we do appreciate our brother for taking us out and treating us so well. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We was real cruel to our brother today. He come in from working hard, and when he did, he smelt the after effects, but there wasn't nothing left. So he ate a cold sandwich after we finished the hot breakfast. And we do appreciate his hospitality and appreciate the good fellowship we've been having with him. Always appreciated him. Appreciate the life he's living. Amen. And I don't think we can say that enough sometimes. We need to hold him up in prayer. Ask God to continue to strengthen him and let that light shine bright. I appreciate him. I do. I mean that every time I come, I look for certain faces, and I may not always remember names, but I don't forget a face. I had somebody that was here the other night, hadn't seen him in over 10 years, and I said, I've seen you somewhere. Didn't I see you at Brother LePage's? And they let me know where they're going now, but it was good to be able to see them, and I still don't know their name, never did ask them, but I know who they are. I do, and if I see them again, I'll know. And I appreciate every one of you, and you have made our lives rich. Hallelujah. Book of 2 Timothy, I know you're getting tired of standing, and I'll be standing a while yet, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the Bible said in verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Jaredon. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Boy, I tell you, don't we have a lot of that? Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Got some of that too. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Wow. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the very power thereof. From such turn away. Over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. Hallelujah. I do want to say that I'm a proud papa tonight because I enjoyed my daughter singing. I almost kept her singing it 3 or 4 more times just because I was enjoying it. I don't know about y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe there's a little singer in there. If she'll just let her out, she'll do all right. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I'd like to preach just for a few minutes tonight on a constraining for a remaining. Amen. A constraining for a remaining. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, not just my body, but many of the other bodies that are sitting in this barn tonight are physically wore out, tired, and fatigued. God, I appreciate Brother Daly and the different ones, God, that even though time was late and they were weary and busy, God, they still laid things aside and come out to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for those that love you so much, God, that they want to be in the house of God on a Saturday night. Lord, instead of partying in this old world, we're wanting to party with the people of God. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet grace. Lord, thank you, Lord, that your grace came to us when we were so lost in gross sin. God, we thank you, Lord, for that glory that picked us up from where we were and brought us to where we are today. Lord, let us not be satisfied with the position of our soul, but Lord, let us progress further, Lord, that we may come to the kingdom of heaven for such a time as this. Father, we'll thank you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Stauffer said that he doesn't think he's got the lungs I've got after last night, but I done used them up now. I tell you, I believe that we are truly in the last days. I know preacher said that when I sat about where my daughter did at her age. And I prayed and I sought God, and Brother Sammy Finley'd come up there to the camp meetings where I'd be, and he'd preach. He'd say, we're in the last days. And a lot of the elders are gone now. And it seems like we are truly living in the last days. I know when Hitler was killing the Jews, they thought they were in the last days. But I believe if ever the hour is late, it is now. Amen. How do you know? Because just as our brother sung tonight, the signs of the time are everywhere. Where are those signs? You can read them right here in this chapter. Amen. First of all, I want to bring your attention that we are living in perilous times. We are living in perilous times. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times are dark times. They are difficult times. They are dangerous times. Amen. Troublesome times. And I believe if ever we're living in dark days, I believe we could say they are today. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'm believing that the Bible said that they that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. And I do want to endure, but I don't believe that enduring unto the end means that when we get to the end, we're going to make it by the skin of our teeth. Amen. I believe that we need to make it triumphantly with our foot on the throat of the devil. Amen. When I look at the church, the Bible said that he's coming back for a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Amen. I believe that he's coming back for a church. Amen. That is walking strong. Amen. I have a hard time believing in my mind. Amen, sister, that Jesus is coming back for a church that is weaker than the church that he birthed in the upper room. Amen. I believe he's coming back for a powerful church. And when I look, I believe that we're living in perilous times. Amen. Peril means a time of loss, a time of injury, or it means to be destroyed. I'm watching people that are literally being destroyed by the devil. Can you say amen? Oh, I want you to listen close to me tonight, church. You know why? Because next year, I don't know how many of you may not be sitting on these pews because you didn't listen to this word. This word will help you if you listen. I believe, Hammon, that there is a constraining. To constrain, Hammon, means that it almost forces us. Hammon, I believe that there is a love that we can have for God. Hammon, that is a force. Hammon, deep within us. I'm not talking about somebody on the outside forcing us, but I'm talking about a love on the inside that forces us. Come on, y'all with me here. Hammon, you see right now, not too long ago, my son, Hammond, came up to the altar and he was looking around and goofing off like little kids do, you know. And I grabbed him by the neck and I just kind of helped him to his knees. And he knelt there, I said, come on, son, raise those hands, praise the Lord. Okay, Dad. And so he went through the motions and he done what he was supposed to because Daddy was making him do it on the outside. Hammond, but there's been a lot of times that I've been in church and I remember my mom grabbing my ear from down where she was and bringing me down to where she was. Oh, yes, Mama. And I got on that knees and I began to call on God. Lord, please make her let go. Amen. I begin to pray with fervency all of a sudden. Amen. But I want to tell you that there's got to be somewhere on the inside. Amen. Where we have a force of love for God. Where we begin to realize everything that God has done for us. Amen. My daughter was telling me a story today. My mother-in-law is one of the best storytellers that ever walked the face of the earth. And I don't mean a storyteller as in a liar. I'm talking about literally a good storyteller. She tells the story of Goldilocks, and she'll talk about those three bears. She said Goldilocks was riding her Harley through the woods, and she ran out of gas. Vroom, vroom! And as she is going around the curves, she finally ran out of gas in the middle of the woods with no gas station. Yeah, she's a good storyteller. And there's these three bears. Come on, y'all. I mean, she's a storyteller. But my daughter was telling me something I didn't know, Sister Ro. She said that my father-in-law was sitting over there in the recliner with his TV on, just kind of acting like he's not paying attention. And my mother-in-law began to tell the story of the cross and how Jesus Christ fell underneath the weight of the cross. Amen. And the blood began to fall. And she began to tell that story and how Simon had to pick it up and carry it all the way up the hill. And when they got there, they put the nails in his hands after beating him so badly. And my father-in-law, paying attention to his television, had little tears coming out of the corner of his eyes. Why? Because he began to remember
about how Jesus Christ had died for him. He still ain't turned his life over to God, but he ain't forgetting it. Come on, y'all here. And as he begins to think about the love of Christ and the love that Jesus had for us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to love God the same way as he's loved me. Amen. What if you think Jesus felt like carrying that cross? No, no, no. You think he got so tired that he fell under the weight of the cross and said, you know what? I'm about sick and tired of this. Come on. How many of us have ever been under the weight and we said, you know what? I think I'm about ready to quit. Nobody knows the cross I have to bear. Nobody knows what I have to face. Amen. I want to tell you what, nobody might, but someone does. Hallelujah. We are living in perilous times. We're living in a time when it seemed like nobody cares. We're living in a time when it seemed like nobody seems to be concerned with somebody else. Amen. People are so depleted. People are so deformed. And people are being destroyed. Oh, come on here. Help me preach a while, would you? Amen. It seemed like we see another brother that's having a weak time, and they finally fall out of the way. And we say, yeah, I always knew that they didn't quite have the goods. Amen. What's wrong with you? Are you even saved? You may be in the right place, but I question, amen, the position of your soul. If you have no compassion for those that are weak and dying and lost and on their way to hell. Amen. I'm telling you that the devil enslaves people and pulls them into those sins. Come on here. Amen. I know they were weak. They made a choice to do this, and that's their fault. Well, I'll tell you what. How many of you have ever made a choice that was stupid? Come on here. How many of you have ever thought you was you got a little weak in the faith, and you got presented with a temptation, and you fell, and you were embarrassed? Is it possible? Oh, I wasn't planning on going here. Lordy. Hey man, I know we got services tomorrow. I sure hope y'all come back. I love y'all. I really do. How many of us have ever been so embarrassed by the wrong that we've done that we didn't show up in church? How many of these bales have been empty this week because somebody was so embarrassed they were worried and shamed about what they've done, and they were worried about what you'd think of them? Oh, come on here. I know it ain't real good preaching, but it's about as good as it's going to get. Help me here. Amen. I want to tell you that sometimes we don't mean to. Amen. I really don't think that we dislike anybody here tonight, but I think it's so easy and it's become perilous times. Amen. That we get so busy looking down our nose at somebody else. Amen. That we forget where God has brought me from. It's perilous times. Amen. When people are not loving like they used to be. People used to love their parents. People used to take care of their parents. Now, it's just what they can get from their parents. Come on here. Amen. But I want to tell you that some of that's because of the way we've raised them. Oh, Lordy here. Amen. I got to get off that. Amen. I want to tell you that it's perilous times. Perilous times. Amen. These are not only perilous times, but I believe that we are living in prayerless times. Yeah. Prayerless times. Come on here. Let me ask you a question here. How many of you have ever been to an all-night prayer meeting? Let me see you raise your hand. You've been to an all-night prayer meeting. One, two. How many's ever been to an all-night prayer meeting? Down through the years. You ever been to? Okay. Yeah, come on. Y'all act like you're ashamed of it. Come on. If you've been to an all-night prayer meeting, raise that hand up. Come on. Hey, man, we got just a few of us. All right. I want to tell you something. Hey, man, did you know that they've got Satanists? You know when Satanists meet? You know when they meet? They don't meet at high noon. They meet in the middle of the night. And they do rituals all night long, many times, because they want to see preachers fall and they want to see Christians fall out of the way. I want to ask you something. How many believes tonight that you've got the truth and the Muslims don't? How many of you prayed 5 times today? Oh, Lord, help me here. Now, if they're praying 5 times to a false God, I believe we could pray at least that many times to the true God. Oh, God, convict me, Jesus. Oh, God. You know what? We're living in prayerless times. Hey, man, you know, years ago, come on here, I want to tell you what I believe. And you put it with 2 cents and it's worth, you put it with 2 pennies, it's worth about 2 cents. Amen. I believe that what has happened is a lot of the old saints, how many knows a lot of the old saints have passed on now? Amen. Their seats are empty in our churches. But a lot of those old saints, brother, used to seek the face of God and they'd pray into the wee hours of the night. And when we went on to bed, they kept on praying. And they sought God. Come on here. And then when we'd come to church, we'd feel the power of God and we'd feel the help of God that was a result of their prayers. And now that they're gone, we're still having church as usual, but it just seems like it ain't the same. You know why? Because we're living in prayerless days. And when the Bible said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know why they're fainting along the way? Because they're not praying along the way. Amen. What do you want to teach a new convert? You need to memorize scripture. Yes, they do. You need to go to church. Oh, yes, they do. Amen. But I believe that prayer is the umbilical cord of the saint of God. And I believe that if you aren't praying, then you aren't going to be staying. Come on here. Amen. I believe that if we aren't seeking the face of God the way we need to, then we're not going to be able to help anybody like we used to. Oh, God, help me a little while here. Brother Brad, let me tell you something. I've been raised in church. I don't know about you, but I've been raised in church. You gave me a bottle and gave me a cork and gave me one of those little things. I don't even know what they're called that you pull the cork out with. I wouldn't even know the name of it. And I just kind of look at, I probably wouldn't do it right. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even know how to get the cork out of the bottle. I just don't know. Somebody give me a deck of cards. I'd kind of look at them and say, well, dude, how do I do this? You know, I don't know what in the world. I ain't never done that. Somebody take me to a bowling alley. I wouldn't know an X from a whatever other letters they've got in that game. Hey man, I don't know much about that kind of that lifestyle. Hey man, but I want to take this, all I know is church. But if I'm not careful, I know how to raise my hands. I know how to sing a song. Amen. I know how to give a testimony. I know how to take up prayer requests. Amen. But I tell you, you can learn all those things. But if you don't learn how to pray, then you're not going to have what the old saints had. Come on here. Yeah. You can have a form of godliness, but you're not really good. Come on here. How do you know we're not praying? I tell you how. Because the Bible said they'd be lovers of their own selves. Haven't they before? They would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In other words, people used to cancel their pre-made plans to be in the house of God. We was in church the other night, and my pastor, I go to another church as well. I can't get enough church at one, so I go ahead and attend two churches. And so I go to their church on Wednesday night and on Saturday night and any other night I can get over there. And I have ours on Thursday night. And anyhow, when I was over there, the pastor said, hey, we're going to have a cleaning up night. We're going to all clean up because Friday night we're going to have a youth service. And he said, I want us to come and I want us to clean up the church. And he said, I want us to spend some time in prayer on Thursday night. And I went, oh, I got to go to church. Y'all with me here? I had my church, so I couldn't be with them, but I was still in church. And so he said, oh, somebody raised their hand and said, oh, Sister Tammy's having a party, a birthday party Thursday night. And Sister Tammy's sitting there and she says, Pastor, that's okay. He said, no, 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 maybe we'll move it to another night. She said, no, we'll just either cancel the party or move it. Because it ain't nearly as important as getting the house of God clean and having a place of prayer. I think we'll just all come to church and pray. Come on, y'all with me here. This is my birthday party for my baby. I want to tell you that it needs to be that's not important anymore. The only important thing is bringing the baby into the house of the Lord. Oh, I wish I could preach just like I need to. Amen. I want to tell you that we're living in perilous times, but we're living in prayerless times when people aren't praying like we need to. Amen. It is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How many of you have ever held on a conversation with somebody and stayed up all night giggling and having a good time? Anybody done that? Y'all act like you're afraid to say anything. My daughter's done it. My goodness. Anybody ever stayed up all night? Come on, preachers. I know you have. You've stayed up all night visiting and talking about God and His goodness. Come on here. Amen. Everybody's arms working. Amen. There we go. Hey, you know, there's some of us. We stayed up all youth camp. We have church during the day and at night. Amen. If we can get by with it, we stay up all night visiting and talking and chatting and talking. Amen. Why? Because it's fun and we're with our friends and we're doing what we want to do. Amen. What about staying up all night to spend time with God? Amen. Getting into the Word of God and saying, oh, Spirit of God, my flesh may not feel like praying. Y'all ever prayed when you felt like praying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, when the spirit of prayer come on in there, sister. Amen. And you started praying. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And all of a sudden you wasn't in control no more. And you could tell that somebody else was. And you just begin to pray and pray. Amen. And feel better and better all the time until you felt so good you didn't want to run through the troop and leap over the wall. He wanted to run through the wall and leap over the troop. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like jumping up in the air and running both ways, but I can't. Amen. Well, I just feel like a volcano's on the inside. Amen. I'm talking about praying and seeking the face of God. Amen. We've got too many that are fainting along the way because they're not praying.
Can you say amen? Amen. I mean to tell you tonight, listen to me here. How many of you have close friends that have fell to temptation and you said, I can't believe that my best friend is doing this now? Come on, how many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. How in the world? I want to tell you that you're making the same mistake they did. You know what mistake they made? They made the mistake of thinking that they could stay a Christian and keep pushing sin away and not pray. Come on here. Some of us, we be honest, we pray once in a while, but we're not praying like we need to. And there is a temptation out there with your name on it that you're not going to be able to withstand. Come on, help me a little. I'm doing my best to preach to you. And I'm trying to preach you a little bit of truth. And we may not have it in the direction of last night, but I'm getting right down. I want to hoe our row if I can. Amen. I want to tell you that I believe that that old Samson, the Bible said, I will go out as in other times. And he shook himself just like he always shook himself. But this time, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Amen. I want to tell you that there's times that we get into that temptation. We think, oh my, I can handle this. I can do it. I know it's wrong. But after a while, that deceiver, you cannot outthink the devil. Your mind is no match for the devil. Amen. That's why you don't war against the devil in your mind. You war against him with your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why you've got to get your heart full of the things of God. Oh, I wish I could preach this like I need to. Amen. I come to tell somebody here tonight that you need a constraining love to help you remain. Amen. You will not be remaining if you don't have that constraining love. Amen. That love that gets you to pray when you don't feel like praying until you do. Hallelujah. My pastor used to say, give in the offerings until it hurts. That didn't take very long. And then I went to him. I said, Pastor, what do I do now? He said, give until it stops hurting. I said, yes, sir. Amen. I want to tell you what you need to do is pray when you don't feel like praying until you do feel like praying. Come on here. I don't go by feelings, brother. But I'll be honest, come on. How many of you have knelt and prayed, and for the first couple minutes you didn't feel like it, but you knew it's what you're supposed to do. And when you got down to pray, you prayed just a few minutes, and all of a sudden you went, where did that come from? Woo! Hey, man, the Holy Ghost come right down in your little bedroom. And you said, whoa, yeah. Get somebody in here. I feel the Lord. Hey, man, they had a preacher that was holding a revival, Brother Stalfer. And he would go over there to in the living room and he'd kneel down next to that couch. And he'd pray. And one day while he was a-praying, him and the little guy about the age of my son, about the age of his little guy, went over and began to crawl on his back and crawled right up on top of him and landed on the couch in front of him. And the mama ran over and picked him up real quick and took him out of the room. A little later, she couldn't find him. She looked around, tried, you know, they move pretty fast. I went back in and there he was crawling all over that preacher again and grabbed him up out of there. And finally, the man of God got done praying and she felt so bad. She said, preacher, I just want to say I'm sorry that my son kept crawling all over you when you was praying. He said, do what? She said, you know what I'm talking about? When my boy was crawling on your back and landing on a couch. He said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. But he said, I sure felt the Lord coming by. Hey, but I want to tell you that when you get so caught up with God that what's going on around you doesn't even matter anymore. Oh, preacher, you're just pulling my leg. Oh, no, I'm not. Amen. If you think I'm pulling your leg, it's because you ain't been in that place before. When the heavenlies begin to pull on the heartstrings of your soul, when you begin to feel God come down and glory fill your soul. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I want to tell you that there's a lot of different pleasure that wants to get a hold of your soul. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, we can love the world and never be in the world. Come on here. Amen. That's why you've got to spend more time with God than you spend with anything else. Come on, help me a little while. My daughter knows what I'm going to say when she picks up a book. Is it good to read?
Does Daddy like you to read? Oh, yeah. But when she picks up a book and starts reading it, and I've seen her reading about 3 or 4 chapters now, I'll turn and I'll say, honey, did you spend as much time in your Bible as you are that book right there? Isn't that what I tell you, sweetie? All the time. If she's wanting to talk to those cousins, I think that's a wonderful thing. You need to stay in touch with family. But when she's always texting and she's always calling, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's okay. That's what I got her a phone for. Hey, Mom, but you know what? If she keeps, I'll say, sweetie, did you talk to God as much as what you're talking to them? Why? Because I want to tell you that if she does not spend the time with God, somebody else is going to have persuasion over her soul. Hey, man, and before long, instead of doing the right things, she's going to find herself doing the wrong things. I can't make her live holiness, although I hope she does for the rest of her life. But if I can get them alone in the presence of God, amen, and get them to where they learn how to pray, learn how to touch God. Come on, y'all with me here tonight. Amen, if somebody died right here, amen, I would be willing to say that most of us wouldn't know how in the world to get a hold of God to bring them back to life. Amen. Well, I was in an emergency room, and Sister Mildred Hunter, my wife knows it, was in our church for years. Amen. 80 some years old. And she's in that emergency room and she's laying on her back, having an allergic reaction to some of the medicine that the doctors had given to her. I can't go into all the detail, but I noticed she's laying there and they said she's about to die. Y'all need to gather in. And so we gathered in and the family's taking their turns going into the emergency room. And David decided he was going to go and he goes to my church, so he ain't going without me. So I'm following him right on in there. And when I get on in there to that emergency room that they had her in, I seen the little beeper going, and all of a sudden it just went flat. I didn't even think what I was doing. I just done it. I grabbed a hold of her right there by her neck, and I said, Sister Mildred, start breathing in the name of Jesus. And I began to pray. I sure wasn't doing it because that's what I thought about doing. I just done it. And David took his hand and laid it on his mama's head and said, in the name of Jesus. And we began to pray, and that thing began to beep again. You can say it didn't happen if you want to, but I was there when it happened, and I think I ought to know. Amen. Yes, she died 2 weeks later, but there were some things that needed to take place in her children's lives. There were some things that still needed to be done. On the night before she died, amen, they had some gospel music playing. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't open her eyes. She wouldn't squeeze her hand. Amen, she just laid there for a week or two. But they turned that gospel music on, and her little foot began to move back and forth just like Sister Hunter's foot always did. Amen, I tell you what, she was feeling something from another world. And after a while, she opened her eyes. Amen, and passed away into the presence of God. Amen, I'm just telling you, we need to be in the place. And I'm here to tell every one of us tonight, amen, we're living in perilous times. We're living in prayerless times. But we are also living in powerless times. And I believe that right now, amen, the power of God, I said the power of God, amen, seems to be lower in the church than it's ever been. God, help me. Amen, I can look at the church and say they need more power. The Bible says, oh, hallelujah. Amen, by the Bible says, amen, that you shall be witnesses unto me. Oh, how am I going to be a witness? The power of the Holy Ghost would come upon them. I need this power of God. I need the Holy Ghost to come and do a work in myself. Amen. I need the Holy Ghost to help me. I need the power of God. Can somebody say amen? I wish I'd preach just like I need to. Amen. I come to tell somebody, you don't just want it. You need the Holy Ghost. Come on, I'm not upset with you. Amen, but I do want to tell you, you need to be more hungry for it than you are right now. If I can begin to describe a steak, or begin to describe pizza, or whatever else. You know, you can sit in a service. Anybody ever been in a service when a preacher starts talking about having a drink of God, and they start talking about water, and you start going, boy, I'm thirsty. Boy, I need a drink. Come on here. Oh, man. I want to tell you that somewhere down inside, amen, there needs to be just like David. He said, my heart pants after the water brooks, oh God. So panted my soul after thee. Amen. God, I got a longing for you. I'm willing to rearrange my schedule every day of the week. Oh, all that matters to my soul is I've got to have a move of God. Amen. Not just for somebody else, but I need the Holy Ghost for me. Yeah, for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Amen. I need the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about a form of godliness where I'm in church every time the doors are open. That's good. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that with a crowd this size, there's a lot of you that aren't there every time the doors are open. Don't shout now. I'll think you're guilty. Amen. I want to tell you here, amen, but rearranging our schedule. You're here tonight. You could be somewhere else. You know what you need to determine tonight? I'm going to make a new commitment to God that from this day forward, I'm going to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. I'm going to pray every single day just as many times as those Muslims pray to their false God. I'm going to pray if I pray all by myself. I'm going to stand if I have to stand alone. I need God to help my family. And I want to tell you that you cannot expect the sinner to yield to God when the saint is not ready to yield to God. Come on, somebody say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. How many times have you felt like God was convicting you and God was trying to draw you and you was guilty of sitting there saying, I know, I will, but you know, I'm not that bad of a person. I mean, I'm better than so-and-so is. Just like our sister was mentioning to us tonight, we compare ourselves with ourselves. Amen. But I want to tell you that if we don't yield to God, amen, if you don't get excited about it, come on here. Brad. If Stacy come up to you and said, hey, so-and-so had a baby, just thought I'd let you know. She had a baby last night. Would you believe her? Come on, y'all with me here. Well, she did have a baby. It was 7 pounds. It's really good. We're so glad. No, that's not the way it's going to be. Hey, Brad, listen, can you believe it? Somebody had a baby. Yeah, you better believe it. I know it that well. Amen. You know what his first question would be? Was it born okay? Well, yeah, it was born healthy. Are you sure? You don't seem very happy about it. What's wrong? How come you're not happy? Amen. I want to tell you, a lot of folks are saying you need to come to church, and when they get there, they see you just sitting there going, you look so excited. They're saying, boy, I can't wait to get out of here either. Why? Because that's what we're feeling. That's what we're showing. And when they say, okay, let's all stand to our feet and raise our hands. Let's come to the altars. And we sit there and say, well, I don't know if I ought to stand or not. Well, maybe I will. And you stand up. Guess what the sinner next to you is going to do? They're going to finally stand up and do the same thing you're doing. Amen. But when you're running to that altar, they're going to say, well, I don't know what's going on up there, but I don't want to get missed out. I think I'll go too. They get up there. I've had people at youth camp go with me to youth camp when I was in school, and I'd step right out of my seat and go walking down that altar, and they'd walk in. I said, hey, where are we going anyways? I said, just come on. And we get down there, and all of a sudden people start laying hands on them. We're going, oh my goodness. But after a while, they start speaking in tongues. Oh, Josh McCann got so filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't even know there was such a thing. His daddy had taught him it was of the devil. And he just sitting there and they're grabbing his hand. I said, it's okay, close your eyes. He said, why'd I close my eyes? I said, it ain't as scary that way. Come on here. You like horror movies, don't you, boy? Raise those hands, praise the Lord. He start praising God. Okay, God. I said, just repeat after me. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I said, doing good. And then keep on praising him. After a while, him and the Holy Ghost began to move on him and tears streamed down his face. He got so filled with the Holy Ghost, when he went down back and ordered a hamburger, it didn't come out in English. Had to write it out as he began to scribble, raising his hand and writing a little bit more. Amen. Why could the Holy Ghost got a hold of him? Amen. I believe that we need to be examples of God's power. Can you say amen? Is it real or isn't it? Come on here. I said, is it real or isn't it? Amen. Listen to me here. Amen. My daddy worked at a place third shift. And if you fell asleep in the bathroom, they'd paint your shoes red. And so, There'd be a lot of guys go in there and they'd fall asleep and they'd just paint the shoes red. And anybody walking around with red shoes, you knew that they'd fell asleep. Hey, but there was one man that come to work one day and all the guys got there before he did. He's always running a little late. And they said, hey, let's all tell him that he's sick. Okay, you guys ready? And said, okay, okay. So the first guy walked up to him and said, man, glad to see you. You're a little earlier than normal, but are you feeling okay? Yeah, I feel pretty good. Oh, okay, well, you kind of look like you might be a little weak. No, I'm feeling pretty good. Good, good, good. Somebody else come over to him after a while and said, boy, are you feeling okay? My goodness, I noticed you was rubbing your head. He said, well, you know, I think I was kind of having a little bit of a headache. And so he's holding his head after a while. And somebody else come up to him and said, boy, you're looking kind of peaked. You look like you ain't got no color in your face. Are you feeling okay? He says, you know, so-and-so said I wasn't feeling very good. And I have got kind of a headache. After a while, that old man, that boy was talking to the boss saying, hey, can I go on home? Come on here. Him and it done convinced him of something that wasn't true. But that's not the way it works with God. Come on here. Hey man, you can't just say, hey, you know what? God is real and that makes him real. No. You can say that all you want to. Somebody needs to get plugged into God. Oh, God, help me here. Somebody needs to get plugged in. Hey man, when you get plugged in, hey man, all of a sudden the power of God begins to move and you can't help but react to the power of God. Hey man, hallelujah. I just don't believe that the power of God comes to shout you. I believe he comes to sanctify you. He begins to pull you out of the world. Why? Because that love constrains me so that I can remain in God. And I don't need to be loving the things of this world. I don't need to be entertained by the things of this world. I need to have an experience in God. Can you say amen? Oh, I wish I could preach this like I'm feeling it. Hey man, I come to tell somebody here tonight that we are truly living in powerless times. Hey man, powerless days. Hey man, the Bible said in the last days, hey man, there'd be those that would have a form of godliness, but deny the very power thereof. Hey man, how many knows that we're living in powerless days? Come on here. How many of you have ever came upon something where they said, we need to pray, so-and-so has cancer, and you're saying, oh, man, I wonder how long they're going to last. Come on, y'all with me here? Instead of saying, oh, really? Well, let's all go on over to their house and let's start praying until God heals them. Isn't that what they did when we was younger? When I first got saved, hey man, I was about this age right here. And when I had an asthma attack one time, hey man, the whole church come over and they started laying hands on me and they prayed for me, and for hours they prayed for me. And they were gathered in the living room and they were gathered in the bedroom and they'd pray and they'd pray and they'd pray and they'd pray until I began to breathe a lot better. Hey man, they said, that's the kind of God we serve. Then they shouted for a few more hours because they're excited that they got to pray and God moved. Hey man, it wasn't just, okay, let's go home. It's about time to go to bed anyways. No, they were so excited and they had to go to work the next morning, but they were so caught up with God. Hey man, do you realize the kind of power we have in our hand? Oh, come on here. Somebody say amen. Hey man, John the Baptist said, are you he or should we look for another? What was Jesus's answer? He said that the lepers are cleansed. The blind receive their sight and the dead are raised. Hey man, I want to tell you, church, oh come on here, I'm just as guilty as you. I'm preaching to us. I want to tell you that we need an old-fashioned prayer meeting. I said, we need a prayer. Come on, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling just about as guilty as can be. I know we need to pray. Hey man, we need to seek God. It doesn't matter how well you can shout, how well you can articulate. Doesn't matter how high you can jump. Hey man, I want to tell you that when we can get down and seek the face of God until God's hand moves, that's when the power is going to be poured out. How bad do we want God to move? How bad do we want God to move? Oh, come on here. I'm fixing to close. The Bible said in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. When's this going to happen? It's going to happen in the last days. Those days that are perilous. Those days that are prayerless. Those days that are powerless. Amen. Those are the days when God's power is going to be poured out. Amen. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, and this is that which was spoken spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Amen. I believe that we're in the last days, Brother Brad. Amen. And I believe that if we'll pray with fervency, that word fervency means with fire. Amen. We need to pray with fire. A fervency down deep inside, Brother Dave, where we say, God, I've got to see you move. Amen. Until the fire is a burning on the inside. Come on here. Amen. I believe there's got to be a fire. Amen. And as that fire begins to burn, that fire will begin to spread. Hey, man, that fire will begin to spread. Amen. We're in a burn ban in Oklahoma because they're worried about spreading fire. Amen. I believe if we're not careful, the church will begin to accept a burn ban on the inside. We don't need a burn ban. Amen. But what we need is a band of men that will burn. Hallelujah. Amen. A band of men that will make up their minds that I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I'm going to see God, and I'll pray all by myself. I'll pray all night long so God will move on Sunday morning. I want my cousin saved. I'm willing to pay the cost to see it happen. I'm willing to pray all night if I have to. I'll fast for 3 days and not eat if I have to. Why? Because I want this power that will be poured out in the last days. Can you shout praise the Lord? Come on, stand with me tonight if you would. Come on, let's raise our hands towards heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. Oh, God, we need your help tonight, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Oh, have your way, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Touch me, Lord. Help me, God. Oh, come on. Are you praying tonight? Are you praying tonight? Amen. I want to tell you that the key to enduring to the end is being endued with God's power. Oh, we need that Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, have your way. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the Bible said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. That word endued means to be clothed with, to be covered with, amen, to be consumed with. I believe somebody tonight needs to be endured. Amen, you cannot be endued. Amen, if you're endued with power, you will endure until the end. I said, if you're endued with power, you will endure to the end. If nobody else holds me up, Brother Mike, I'm going to stand. You know why? Because I've been endued with power from on high. I've got the Holy Ghost standing on the inside. I will not fall away, but I will fire up. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about falling away. If I'm fired up with the Holy Ghost, if I've renewed my love, we need a constraining for a remaining. Can somebody shout praise the Lord? I believe in holiness with everything that's in me. But I want to tell you tonight that it's not about standards, whether you want to think it is or not. I want to tell you that you can get people with the externals, but if they ain't got the Spirit on the inside, they are an empty, empty, empty vessel. And I believe tonight that there are some folks that may not even have the knowledge of the truth, but they're seeking God with such a hunger that they are beyond where we are tonight. Just because we line up to what the Bible tells us on the outside, if my soul has not been endued with fresh power from on high in a while, then I need to get alone with God. Because I am on a slippery slope headed in the wrong direction. Come on here. Brother Brad, I believe you'll always be saved and I'll see you in the rapture. But I want to tell you that if we don't get a hold of God and get His power, I've seen fathers have children where the mama's got to take them to church because the daddy got caught up doing other things. You know why? Because they failed to pray. Amen. Sometimes things hold me out of church and I hate it with everything in me. Amen. But I tell you what, if something holds you out of the prayer closet, you're losing it. I don't care who you are. You're losing it. You're losing it. You're in big trouble. Hey, man, I want to tell you, I'm not advocating anything tonight, but I am telling you that we've got to find that prayer closet. If you want to endure, you must be endued. I'd like to invite every one of you, not just one or two, not just somebody who's willing to raise their hand. Some of you are waiting around. You're still waiting around. How many years are you going to wait around at the Pool of Bethesda? It's not time to wait. It's time to be willing. Dare to dream again. God, I'm dreaming of having the Holy Ghost. I had a boy tell me, he said, Brother Gibbs, I don't understand. I'm having a hard time getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, you are? He said, yeah, but he said, every night I go to sleep, he said, I dream, I get filled. He said, when I wake up, I still ain't filled, but I dreamed I got filled. I said, how good did it feel to get, to dream that you got filled? He said, oh man, it felt so good. I said, you wait till you get the real thing. I said, you ever dreamed you had $1 million? He said, yeah. I said, didn't it feel good? Yeah. I said, how would you feel if you had a million? He said, wow. I said, the Holy Ghost is better than that. And then he got in the altars and he began to seek God and he wouldn't leave. He said, I don't want to go home and dream about it. I want to stay right here and get it. And he prayed and prayed and prayed until he got it. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, I want the Holy Ghost in my life. Can somebody say amen? We've got candidates all over this place tonight. You've been in church for years. I'll tell you this story and then I'll close, I promise. There was a brother, Brother Cogburn, Brother Norman Cogburn in Salisaw, Oklahoma. Been saved for 20 some odd years, taught Sunday school in his church. And he'd come to me silently with nobody knowing about it. Brother Gibbs, I've got a couple questions for you. I said, well, maybe I need to go ask your pastor. Oh, no. I just want to ask you a couple questions. I said, well, I'm listening. He said, please tell me, why do I need the Holy Ghost when I live a better life than some of these that have the Holy Ghost? And I live a better life than what they do. Why do I need the Holy Ghost if I live better than they do? I said, why don't you get it and find out? Woo! Hey, man, one night in revival, the Holy Ghost got all over his wife, and he thought she got it, and he wanted to make sure he got it before she did, and he did. Hey, man, the Holy Ghost was on her, but she didn't get it. He did, and you talk about a fireball. My goodness, somebody just turned his welder on, amped him up. Boy, I tell you, he's got something now he ain't ever had before. Amen. And he can explain the Holy Ghost better than what I can. And I know I've got it and I know he does too. Amen. But I want to tell somebody that it's not just a something you get, but it's a someone you receive. I want to tell you tonight, you need to do inventory on your life. Tonight, everybody under the sound of my voice needs to do inventory on your life. Pastor, pastor's wife, preacher, evangelist, missionary, you need to do inventory on your life. Don't sit there and say, well, I've been saved for 30 years and I'm doing pretty good. I've been pastoring, but go back and say, Lord, if I had to stand next to Peter, Paul, Thomas, John the Beloved that was boiled in oil, if I had to stand next to them, are my convictions as strong as theirs are? Am I as full of the Holy Ghost as what they are? If I'm not, then that means that I need to get in the altars and say, God, what is it that's hindering me from having the fullness of what you want for me? You know why? Because we need a constraining so that there can be a remaining. I'm tired of losing soldiers. I'm tired of losing soldiers. Last night, he's not here. Don't go tell him. I took my little boy over to Brother Finley last night. We standing out here. I said, son, this is a real hero. He lived holiness and right when I was your age. My little boy goes, wow. You know what Brother Finley said? He said, son, I'm just a soldier like the rest of them. And I said, no, he's a captain. Hey, man, I want to tell you tonight that there's something about getting alone with God. Brother Finley's got alone with God so many times. Hey, man, but I want to tell you that every one of us, hey, man, don't need to compare ourselves with Brother Finley. We need to compare ourselves with Jesus. The Bible said that I measure up to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to ask you, how do you measure against Jesus? The disciples spent so much time with God. So much time with Jesus. The Bible said they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. The people say, I don't know what this guy's got, but I can tell he's been with Jesus. I want to invite everybody that will, everybody. Oh, it's not as high. That's all right. I don't want you to get so high. You don't pray like you need to. I want us to get into this altar. I want us to find a place to pray, and I want us to bombard heaven and say, God, give me this prayer. Give me this power in these perilous times. Come on, everybody that will, would you come? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, children. Come on, come on.
Thine the glory, oh, revive us again. Oh, glory and praise.
Come on, come on,
to the Lamb that was slain.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Born all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Come on, children, pray.
Hallelujah.
Come on, children, let's talk to God.
Amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Lord, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light. Heard our night, hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, thine the glory, Lord, revive us again, hallelujah, thine the glory. Thine the glory, Lord, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. So be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Lord, revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, Lord, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who's died and has now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory, Lord, revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, Lord, revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all my sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, Lord, revive us again. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, Lord, revive us again. Amen, hallelujah, thine the glory, Lord, revive us again. find the glory. Lord, revive us again. Glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all my sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Lord, revive us again. We need His power. Guide us every day. Help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day. It's a dark and dreary hour. But if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. Oh, to guide us every day. Help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day. It's a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. Oh, to guide us every day. Help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day. It's a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. Need His power. Oh, to guide us every day, to help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, and it's a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. Oh, to guide us every day, help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. Oh, to guide us every day, to help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. To guide us every day, to help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power.
I need Your power.
Oh, to guide us every day, to help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, got to have His power. We need His power. Guide us every day, help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. To guide us every day, help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. Guide us every day, help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, but if we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. Guide us every day, help us fight old Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour, we intend to make it, we've got to have His power. We need His power. To guide us every day, Help its final Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour. If we intend to make it, we've got to have his power. In essence, power God is every day. Help his final Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day, a dark and dreary hour. If we intend to make it, we've got to have his power. We need his power. Got us every day. Help us fight on Satan so that we will never stray. It's an evil, wicked day.